I was there, and I just was not doing well on my marksmanship. And it was one of these situations where I had to pass it in order to go back and start college. If I didn't pass it, I'd get recycled back through and start all over again. And I ended up getting a new rifle, getting it sighted in. The old rifle had issues with the sights, and I remember just pleading to God, talking to God, and Lord, just help me get through this. And he did. It was at the last minute, same thing with Isaac. Got a new rifle that day. I went to qualifying, had correct sights. The other sights were bent, and sighted it in, and usually that takes several weeks. Just did it first time, boom, went in, and just got the bare minimum, passed, and moved on. I'm still not a great shot to this day, but hey, I passed basic rifle marksmanship. And we see this here, that the victory belongs to the Lord. So in Esther 9, verses 1 through 2. Now, in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, that would be our March, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could withstand them because the fear of them fell upon all the people. All right, when I titled this talk, Mindset is Everything, and you notice that there was the battle was the Lord's, and that there was a fear of the Jews, and there was a fear, we'll read a fear of Mordecai and what the king could do, because Mordecai was basically his prime minister at that time. And so there was a fear that before they thought they were in control and they could loot and kill the Jews, but now it had turned. So why did the pagans fall so easily? It was just fear. And that fear just dominates. It's something, In today, the worship team did amazing. I should give you guys a clap. Thank you very much. You guys did amazing. But there was a particular song that was sung, and that was, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. And that's kind of what we're in the Bible. I think it's over 200 or 300 times it says, fear not, fear not. And that's something that engulfs us. And this was turned the tables. It was turned on those that hated the Jews. And that the Jews were not fearful. And they had a better mindset. So that fear had fell upon them. In Shushan or Susa, the citadel, the capital city, the Jews had killed 500 men. In all major cities in this kingdom, it happened that the fear of Mordecai fell upon them, and that the battle really belonged to the Lord. Throughout this empire, this huge empire stretched all the way from India all the way into Egypt. There were 75,000 enemies of the Jews that were killed in in Esther 9 and 10. And so this was a huge testimony, because before it was the Jews are going to be exterminated, and with this, God's promise of Messiah was not to be fulfilled. But I always call this, but God. And then anytime you're in a situation, you always think, but God. But God intervened. He placed Mordecai and Esther in those positions and just miraculously turned the heart of the king. There was an edict, and these two giant edicts are coming and clashing on the 13th of March, or in Adar. And so the Lord just, it was the Lord. His mindset was everything. In Psalm 71, verses 13 through 14, it says, let them be confounded and consumed. Who are adversaries of my life? Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, but seek my hurt. But I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. And so it's really our mindset, and remember that it's the victory belongs to the Lord. Next one is, victory is not about just beating back the enemy, but seeing righteousness win in all areas of my life. So I like this picture. Maybe he's a dude perfect guy, I don't know, but he's victorious. He just won. He ran the race. And so victory just isn't about getting small battles won. It's about complete and total victory in all areas of our lives. We don't have to settle for partial victories. We don't have to settle for, we'll just take this, and then but the enemy will be back. In Esther 9, verses 3 through 5, it says, and the officials of the province, the satraps, the governors, and all those of the king's work helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, became increasingly prominent. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. So the day came, these two laws collided, and the Jews were victorious in this one, because not only was there fear in the other side, in the other camp, but there was also all the satraps and the government officials decided to side with the Jews because of the fear of Mordecai. So this was an avalanche effect. Does this sound familiar? Who do we have on our side? We have the King of Kings. So they were fearful of King Ahasuerus, but praise God, we have the creator of the universe. We have the person that owns it all, that controls, that has possession. He has unlimited resources. He can provide whatever he chooses. And so in this particular circumstance, there was fear of the king. But for us, we have access to the king. There's a lot of things swirling around right now. I was just hearing about them this morning. There's, you know, all these different laws and these rules that are going to come out, and who knows what's going to happen. But I know that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we do not have to fear because he's on our sides, because we're his children. In Romans 8, 31 through 33, it says, "What then shall we say to these? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all these things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." So if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. We are in the best position of anything. Let that sink in. We are in the best position because of the work of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the Jews won because there was fear in the other camp. Also, if we realize that in chapter 8, verse 13, it says there was a lot of people that actually decided to convert into Judaism, and they decided to go into the Jews' camp. In verse 3, God was providing for them. All these leaders helped the Jews and Mordecai, and you'll find that God exalts the lowly and brings down the pride. All right, so next point. Eventually, God's plan is fulfilled. Esther chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. "And in Shushan, the citadel, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also," and then it lists the 10 sons of Haman, "the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay hand on the plunder." All right, so there was an edict to kill the Jews and plunder their possessions. And so why didn't the Jews take the plunder? Why didn't they just took the stand? What was the original plan? Well, the original plan for the Agagites was found in Samuel 15. God records this. "This is the Lord Almighty. Thus, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So unlike Saul, he was given this edict, he was given this command, God said, "I'm judging them right now. I'm not waiting for them to get to Sheol or get to the afterlife. They've already made their choices known, and I'm judging them right now." And God can do that. He is omnipotent, and he is just. And we know that he is a good God. In this case, there was nothing that they could be redeemed, and he knew that. And so he just pronounced judgment. He was going to let King Saul do this. But Saul only partially did it, if you remember, where he let the king of the Amalekites live, and Samuel confronted him and said, "What is this bleeding I hear of sheep?" And Saul was taking the plunder. He was supposed to take care of everything. The whole thing was supposed to be wiped out. Now, fast forward to Esther 9:10, the Jews finished it off, but they didn't take the plunder. They were just saying, "Hey, we're making a stand for us. We're not going to go and take advantage of this. Somebody else can. We're just here to defend ourselves." And you know, God's plan is complete. And there may be plans in your life. There could be things that you wanted and prayed for, and you feel like God was telling you, and it's like, gosh, this is never going to happen. It could be like Abraham and Sarah, where they're in their 90s, and then Abraham was in his 90s, and Sarah was 100, and they have Isaac. So just remember that whatever God's plan is, it will ultimately come to fruition. In this case, it was hundreds of years later, but it eventually came to fruition. All right, next point. When God moves victoriously, he leaves a blessing behind for all his children to enjoy. Esther 9, 15 through 17, and the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men at Shushan, or Susa, but they did not lay hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's province gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies, and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but did not lay a hand on the plunder. This was the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th of the month they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. All right, so God supernaturally protected the Jews, not just in the capital city of Shushan, but in all provinces. God gave them rest on the next day. There was feasting and gladness. Boy, doesn't this just seem like the roller coaster? Now we're you know, on the scary part, and you're going through, like, and then you get to the very end, and you're like, kind of like, wow, and you're in that glide path where, like, we made it through. We didn't know how it was going to turn out, and there was feasting and gladness. And it was all on that one day. 13th of Adar, on our calendar, it would be the 13th of March, or maybe April. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is just like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. So there may be times in your life where you just feel like you're oppressed, that the devil is winning, you know, and you know, I see this, you know, I feel this constantly. I look at, you know, Psalm 73, I think it was, wasn't David, I think it was Asaph that wrote in. He's like, God, how is it that the evil people are justified, that they're being prosperous, they have great things, they're not being judged, yet the people of God are being, that are not enjoying the benefits. But then it all changed when you realize what happens when you get in the presence of the Lord. And that's here, is that, hey, when you get in the presence of the Lord, when God's plan just comes to fruition, and boom, the tables are turned. And that could be, this is an important lesson for our lives. And no matter what the situation is, that God is there, that God will protect you. And that even if it's not the way you wanted it to, he's eventually there. He always comes in the nick of time, no matter what it is. All right. And so there was feasting and gladness. There was just, it's just an amazing, I call it a testimony, which leads to my next point, is whenever there's something, you know, amazing in your life, leave a testimony. When God moves victorious in your life, make sure that you establish a testimony or do it again. And we get the Feast of Purim. Esther 9, verses 18 through 20. But the Jews who were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day as well as on the 14th. On the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar. And with gladness and feasting, as a holiday, they sent, and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and the 15th days of the month of Adar as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which had turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. Boy, doesn't that sound like Christmas for us nowadays? You know, it's like there's presents exchanged, there's festivals, there's these giant feasts. And so they wanted to remember it. How many people here have things in their life that they wrote on their, I call it their wall of testimony? Anybody? Where God has intervened. I know I've got them. Where God has intervened in your life. And you know what? We need to celebrate it. We need to remember it, and we need to tell people about it. We need to brag on God what he did. Testimony, I think the Greek word means to do it again. And you're asking God, I want you to do it again in my life, and I want you to do it again in somebody else's life. In my own life, there has been lots of places where God has helped me out, whether it be at work and business and family. You know, one in particular that comes to mind was when Eddie was going to be born, I just had this incredibly, horribly bad sense of insomnia. and I couldn't sleep. And I remember I'm sitting there, I was like, okay, you know, let me just lay on the floor here. It was at night. I'm just going to just rest for a few minutes because we thought it was kind of close. And I remember I'm just laying there. I actually went off to sleep. And then, like, Mary Grace just, like, nudges me, or maybe she kicks me. I don't remember what. Like, ugh. And she's like, I think she said, it's time. I'm like, oh, okay. And we need to get, and so I get up, and we go, and it's in the middle of the night. I think it was like 2 in the morning we get there. And we get up to the Scottsdale, healthcare Scottsdale and Shea, and there's this orderly that comes out, and I think gets, and Mary Grace sits in the wheelchair, and wheels her in, and then by like 3:30 that night, we had Eddie. And I remember I was so tired because of all the insomnia, but God got me through this. Of course, you know, Mary Grace is the one that had all the hard work. I'm like, it was so hard. But it was a big testimony in my life that, you know, we pulled through this thing, and you know, number two was born, and all the kids have those stories, and there's other testimonies in my life I could share with you, but it's important to remember them. It's important to write them down, and it's important to celebrate them, and it's important to tell people about them, about what God has done in your life. God has delivered you from, you know, I could think of one thing at work where many, many years ago, we were having big issues, and there were some folks coming from one of the main offices, and we were supposed to have everything set up, and we did, but we had this cable that was going into the machine, and we had it going in the wrong direction, and they didn't see it, and we're like, what? And so we went in there and changed the orientation and got this cable right, because we were having problems, and we were having problems because the thing was set up wrong, and that was on us. But God delivered me on that. We didn't get in any trouble. We didn't get fired or anything like that, but, you know, we got it set up, and it was working, and that, you know, God carried the day. Even though, you know, we, by all rights, we should have been, been found out on that one. He just delivered us. We got it changed, and away we went. And so God does this in all our lives. I can go down many different instances. But in this case, the entire nation of Israel decided to make this a holiday, even to this day, of Purim. Purim means to cast lots, and the lots were cast against them, but God turned things and flipped it on their enemies. And so it went from a complete total devastation to a complete total victory. All right, so last point. So we need to remember this, but we also need to leave a better testimony for this world. And so, what is your testimony going to be? Kay Andrews in Utah. She was just a godly woman. She had a passion for serving others. She passed many years ago, and she would often write poems and bring fudge to her friends. She was just a very godly woman. Well, her story just went viral, because on her tombstone, she wanted to bless others, so she decided to put her secret recipe for fudge on her tombstone, which is, you know, unusual, to say the least. Well, on her tombstone, she put the recipe for fudge, but there was one mistake. I like to call it kind of a grave mistake. Okay, a little dad humor there. Instead of specifying 1 teaspoon of vanilla, the gravestone had 1 tablespoon of vanilla. So this was totally different. So the fudge was just runny. If you use the recipe that was on the tombstone, it was just runny fudge. And so this thing went viral. He's like, no. And then it finally got corrected. It was 1 teaspoon instead of tablespoon. And on the bottom of her tombstone, it said, wherever she goes, there is laughter. And I think to this, you know, the story about the fudge. And then, you know, we're still talking about this lady today. And so we get to see the last notes that are on King Ahasuerus and the prime minister, or Mordecai. We call him Mordecai the Jew in there. So in chapter 10, it says, and King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might, and the account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai, the Jew, was second to King Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and well-received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. All right, so how's King Ahasuerus remembered? You know, he's just at the very end of chapter 10, you know, it says he imposed a tribute on the land and on the islands. That's a tax. That's just like, hey, that's how he's remembered. Okay, you attribute a tax. And there's a lot more outside the Bible that he's remembered for. The campaign in Greece that failed, that ultimately caused such unrest in the empire from this defeat that he was assassinated and then his son took over. But that's how he's remembered. But how is Mordecai remembered? Well, Mordecai is remembered by seeking the good of his people and seeking peace to all his countrymen. So my question is how are you going to be remembered? You know, are we going to be remembered like King Ahasuerus, where you're just instituting a tax? What's the last note in your life? Is it laughter, like Kay Anders? Or is it going to be this recipe of fudge? What's the last thing we hear about King Ahasuerus? It's just a tax on the land. But what about Mordecai? He was great among the Jews and well-received by the multitude and his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to his countrymen, both Jew and Gentile. How are you going to remember? What's your testimony going to be? Is it going to be that you served others, that you love the Lord, that you had great fellowship with him? And then when things come to an end and this tent of our bodies that is folded up and put away and we go before the Lord, I want to say, Lord, I just love you, and we've had all these times together and talking. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come enter into your rest. I want that testimony. I want a testimony that says he was a godly man, or that he loved his community, that he loved his family, that he loved all those, that he brought peace to all his countrymen. And that's the way I want to end. That's the testimony that I want to have. I want to have a testimony that says all the things that God did in my life, but I also want a testimony at the end of the things of the people that I helped and that those that I witnessed to and that I have shown God to others. So what's your testimony going to be? Is it going to be King Ahasuerus? Or is it going to be like Mordecai? Is it going to be like Mary in the Bible? Or it could be like Paul or Peter or the disciples? And any number of folks. It could be Abraham, King David. There's, you know, the list, you know, the heroes of the faith that are there. What's your testimony going to be? I want it to be one that pleases and honors the Lord, because that's all that's important. All right, so we're going to close in prayer, but if there's anyone that has any needs, come on up. We can pray for you. If anybody needs words of knowledge, if anybody needs words of prophecy, if there's healings that need to be done, if there's just a situation that you need the Lord to move in, myself and any of the elders and wives, we're here to pray for you. Because, you know, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. There's no problem that's too small. Even in this case, where the Jews are, there's an edict that's passed. It could be whatever today is. You know, there could be edicts that are being developed right now. Who knows? But the Lord is here. The Lord will provide. The Lord can heal any kind of infirmity. We just need to ask. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are such a good God. You deliver us from our own things that we do to ourselves, Lord. That you, even though we do these things, you are a good God. That you just protect us. That you deliver us from them. You don't forsake us. You don't leave us out there. Even though we deserve it, Lord, that you are there and you just deliver us from all kinds of things, Lord. Lord, we just invite you into our hearts this day and this week to help us walk with you, to be that testimony to others, Lord. I pray for everyone here, Lord. I pray that you will give them just a great week, that you, if there's any healings that are there, I just pray that those things be healed. I pray for a positive mindset that no matter what comes our way, that we can overcome them, because we know that the God of the universe is with us. He will never forsake us. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We have pizza coming, so just wait on that. But this is open for anybody that'd like to have prayer.